Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is no other than Watchman on the Wall. End Time Internet Ministry. This is Elder G. Bizarre coming to you from Warren, Ohio. We're stretching all the way across down there into Atlanta, Georgia. Then we're going on over and into Texas. Brother Tim is on with me tonight. I appreciate him for coming on with me, standing for the Word of God, and being very, very informative on end time ministry and eschatology to let the world know this is real. This is real. The Bible, the Word of God, is real. You cannot deny it. You can't burn it. You can't drown it. You can't eliminate it. What the Bible says is going to happen is happening now. And it's going to happen because God says in the last days, it will be a time of trouble like never before. And we'll tell you Jesus is Jesus the Christ. Oh, hallelujah. The Son of the living God. He's on his way back. And I know the devil's mad as hell. He wants to stop this internet end time broadcast, and he wants to stop it so bad, but he can't do it, because if God be for me, who can be against me? There's no power. There's no power in hell. There's no power on this earth can stop me and Brother Tim from preaching the gospel, because you're not getting behind the pulpit. And the Lord said, well, come out from amongst the pulpit and get on the air, so somebody who want to listen can listen and learn what thus says the Lord. It's not what I'm thinking. It's not what I'm trying to make up. It's the Word of God. And we're so glad to have Brother Tim. Before we get into any other thing, I want Brother Tim to offer a prayer for us. Then he's going to turn it back over to me. And then I'm going to start off what we're going to talk about. Then we're going to give the Brother Tim, we're going to take maybe 15 to 20 minutes of each one of us to describe what's going on in the world today. One thing we want to emphasize on, one thing high above than anything, and that is Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that he is God Almighty in the flesh, that he died on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. That's the first priority of the church. You can't build a church on nothing else but the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're not building it on the blood of Jesus Christ, let me tell you, you ain't building it on nothing. You're building it on a cult. You're building it on satanic powers. You're building it on idols and worship of demons and devils. Jesus Christ is the only name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. We thank Brother Tim. I love this brother because he's faithful. Amen. And standing behind the Word of God. And I love his family and concerned about his family, and I know he's concerned about mine. That's brotherly love. That's loving one another, like the Bible said, because I'm going to tell you another thing, and I'm going to hand it over to Brother Tim. If you don't know nothing about the love of God, you don't know nothing, because the love of God passes all understanding. The Bible says, follow peace with all and holiness without. Woo! No man, good God Almighty, going to see the Lord. You got to be in holiness, and you got to be in the love of God. Brother Tim, talk to me, brother. Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless you, brother. It's good to be in the land of the living. It is good to be here on the air back with you once again, brother. Thank God for this opportunity. We praise the Most High Yahweh for this opportunity. We thank him for the saints, those that are listening, that are taking time out of their busy day to listen to the Word of God. Amen. So I thank him. Brother, thank you for having me back on the air. Amen. So,
amen.
Brother, you want me to go ahead and say, amen.
Yeah,
will we go ahead and say that prayer?
Yes,
I'll
sir.
Be more than happy to go ahead and say that prayer. Yeah. All right. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, his ultimate sacrifice. We thank you for Yeshua. We thank you for you, dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh Father. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for life. We thank you for love. We thank you for our strength. We are praying, dear
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, that those that are listening, amen, they reach out to more people. Amen. We want as many people to be saved before we go, for the Lord comes back and calls us home. We want as many saints as we possibly can to experience the millennial reign. Amen. We thank God for
amen,
His Holy Spirit. We thank Him for salvation. We thank Him for saving our soul, dear Heavenly Father. We thank You for His ultimate sacrifice. For we know that no one could do what Your Son has done, dear Heavenly Father, for us. He has granted us and blessed us with the greatest gift, amen, known to man,
amen,
which is eternal life. And I am so grateful, dear Heavenly Father, that You have chosen me, dear Heavenly Father. And I have beckoned and heard Your call, dear Heavenly Father, and received salvation. I am so glad to be a saint. I know that the elder pastor is glad to be a saint, a child of the Most High God. We thank You for His experience. We thank You for His spiritual wisdom and knowledge that You grant upon him all these many years. We thank You most of all, dear Heavenly Father, for His faithfulness to the ministry and to the dedication of growing Your kingdom, dear Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we don't come for any shape, form, or fashion, but to just grow Your kingdom, dear Heavenly Father. For Your rewards await us in the heavens, dear Heavenly Father. And we just cannot wait to see Your face, dear Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I just can't wait, dear Heavenly Father. We bless and praise Your holy name forevermore. Amen. Now, I kind of got excited, though. Amen. I just can't wait, man. It's a blessing. Amen, bro. It's a blessing just to even say that I'm a child of the Most High God. A lot of people don't even know what that means. It's just a blessing, brother, you know, just to know that you're going to get to live in beautiful heaven, heaven, beautiful new earth for all eternity. I just want to say that, brother. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just have to say that.
I understand the situation you're in. Amen.
Amen.
You're telling me something like Jeremiah would say. It's like fire.
Yes,
shut up in my bones. I can't hold the peace. I got to see somebody. Got to talk about it. Got to shout about it. Got to cry
about it.
Oh, my God. I just can't help myself. Amen. But here tonight, amen, we're going to talk about a subject, but I do want to have a rerun on the subject in the Bible that we will be covering. We won't cover them all tonight, but we're going to cover one specifically in the Word of God. But we got about, let me see. Whoa, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We got about 16 I'm going to name, and then we're going to pick out of that 16 one that, amen, has been on my heart, been on my spirit, to let the world know, amen, you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. A lot of people talking about coronavirus. You ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. The Lord is merciful. One thing, God is love. There's no hate in God at all. He hates sin. That's what God hates. He hates sin. He hates the devil. He hates his crew that took one-third of his angels, which he don't want no more because they rebelled against him. That's what God hates.
Right.
He hates no human being up on the planet. He hates the Nephilim, and he hates the angels that cohabitated with the human race and produced demons. He hates that. He hates the one that's in the bottomless pit. It's locked up now. They're so vicious that he won't let them loose until the tribulation period occurred. So really, a lot of people want to say God hates the human race, but God don't hate the human race. He hates demons and devils and diabolical plots that he's trying to overthrow God. Now, he's a fool in the first place for even thinking that, and he done made people out of a fool. People walk around here talking about ain't no God, ain't this and ain't that, and Jesus Christ ain't coming. This is a bunch of hogwash, man. Take that down to the pig pen. We don't need that stuff. People are living luscious and spending their money and carousing around. And, the world is just mad. And you want to know what's going on? Well, we're going to get into it. Amen. God bless each and one that's listening. If you have a friend, they need to hear this. Not me specifically. Amen. Because really, it's not me speaking. It's the word of the Lord speaking. And when the word of the Lord speaking, you better listen. You need to listen. Amen. So what we got, cover 16 here. We can maybe hit a little bit of rapture of the church. Amen. Brother Tim is familiar with that rapture of the church because he admits a whole lot of opposers saying that we're going to go through the tribulation and all that stuff. I don't want to get into it right now, but we know what the Word of God says. We got the Antichrist. We got the peace treaty that's on its way. We got the seven-year tribulation period. We're getting ready to step into that, but that won't happen until the rapture of the church. We got the 144,000 Jews, amen, that's going to preach the gospel. We got Russia and Israel. That's the main subject we're going to be talking about tonight. Amen. And
yes,
give you some scriptures in the Word of God. We have the 28 judgments that's going to come upon the earth during the tribulation period. We see a prelude of judgments of God now before the tribulation even start. We see all kind of volcanoes, and we see all kind of storms, and all kind of the earth is opening up, and people are facing tornadoes, and people are losing their minds. They're all off-centered. They think they can get away with it, but they can't. We got the mark of the beast, which is the coronavirus is a prelude of a mark of the beast, because now they're demanding that you take the coronavirus shot, and then they're taking one shot, then another shot, and they got four boosters now. By the time they get through shot, and they're gonna be, well, they're gonna be messed up because this ain't no kidding yet. I'd rather have coronavirus without the shot than get a shot and still get it. Amen. Because I'm not trusting in man. I'm trusting in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, he is my shield. He is my hope. We got the two witnesses, which is Moses and Elijah in the last part of the 3.5 years. The two witnesses will preach after the 144,000 get through. And we got the return of Jesus Christ at the battle of Armageddon. That's the battle which when all the armies of the world, man-made armies of the world, will meet Christ at the Valley of Megiddo, which is called Armageddon. Armageddon, and that was when Christ comes from heaven. He's going to open up the sky at the end of the tribulation period, come riding on a white horse. He's coming back with the church. In order for him to come back with the church, he had to rapture the church up before the tribulation period starts. Otherwise, he'd be coming back by himself. And he said, I'm not coming back on this by myself. I'm coming with my body. Amen. I'm not going to come up here with just with a head. I'm going to bring my body. And we know the body is the body of Christ. And we are a part of the body of Christ. So that means every born-again believer that's caught up in the rapture will come back with Jesus Christ in the sky to fight the battle of Armageddon. Armageddon, after it's all over, will lead us into the great, my God almighty, the great millennium reign with
that's
Jesus
right.
Christ. We'll set up the millennial kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Amen. Everybody talking about their little kingdoms and their little countries and their little empires and dynasties and everything. Those are reared up by Satan. And every kingdom of the world that Satan has ever put on this planet has failed. And this great one, which is the new world government, is going to fall at the same time at the battle of Armageddon. And Jesus Christ will lead us to church. The devil said, I don't like that. What kind of church? The blood washed church. It's not the church. It's a church denomination. A Presbyterian, the Catholic. That's a name. But in order to get to heaven, you're going to have more than a name of a church to identify your faith that you're living for. And if you're not living for Jesus Christ, you ain't in the faith. Because Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith forever. Without Jesus Christ dying on Calvary, oh, hallelujah, while him dying on Calvary, coming up from the grave with all power, I mean all power. He got so much power, amen, if he would just give us just a little bit, and he did.
Amen.
When he received the Holy Ghost, we got power to tread over serpents and scorpions and tell the devil, you know where you can go. Amen. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus right now that this ministry, this end-time ministry, will prosper, and men and women and boys and girls will get an understanding of what God wants them to know in Jesus' name. I thank you right there. Brother, I'm going to go ahead, and you can start me off something. When I come back, I'm going to come back with God and Magog.
Amen. Go ahead, Doc.
God and Magog. When you come back, amen. I'm going to start it off, and we can go on from there. Go ahead, Brother Tim.
Amen. Amen. All right, then, Doctor. Amen. You want me to go ahead and kick off a little bit? Amen. I will. Amen, amen. There's just a little bit of studying, amen, into the Gog and Magog, amen. But in essence, amen, we understand that this is Russia. Amen. From what I've understood and from my study and my research, amen, I was aware of it, amen. But just not until now have I went to in-depth study. Amen. I know that when we was in school, there were certain things that they need to teach on. But, amen, I learned that Gog, is, amen, is actually a person, and Magog is actually the land. But they're also used interchanging, meaning that it represents the nation. Amen. So I just want to read here from my notes what it says. It says, let me go up some. So Ezekiel 38:2 says, "Son of man, set thy face against Gog," amen, which represents a person, but in this case, in the book of Revelation, it represents the nation and the land of Magog, which is, again, the land, the people itself, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophecy against them. And this is these are descendants of the people who come together that make up the nation of Russia, the Russian people. Hey, man, I thought that was very interesting. Now, watch this. It says, four proper names are given by the prophet Ezekiel, helping us to identify the northern country, Magog, Gog, Meshech, and Tubal. And it says, Magog was the grandson of Noah, who, according to Josephus, the historian, settled north of the Black Sea above the Caucasus Mountains. They were also called the Scythians. They would be the inhabitants of Ukraine and Belarus. Now, if you know anything about that, this is interesting. I was like, man, I'm learning something new myself. These were nations that were considered, amen, brother. I was like, okay, I'm going to have to start studying a little bit more on this. My dad used to tell me, he said, you got to know the history. He said, you got to study the Old Testament.
Yes, so, sir.
I see what he's saying. And, if you know it, then this is the Viking nations. These are the people who were considered barbarians by the Romans.
They were so
barbarous, and yes, they were called barbarians for a reason. Man, they was into cannibalism. They was into much stuff. They would cut up bodies and eat people's body and cook the body. I'm like, Lord have mercy. I said, man, a lot of sense. That these people are this is a decorated nation. They've come from nothing. They've come from the Caucasus Mountains. They come from a barbarous lifestyle. Man, I'm talking about there's some shows. Amen. Oh, say again, doctor. There's some shows out there that, man, you can watch according to this nation. And, man, these folks were they were killing people. Like, they were going across the land just killing people. I don't want to get too in-depth with that. But I just thought it was so neat to know. And these are the people who – these different nations come together to make up the Russian – these are from barbarians, Vikings. They all came together to – they came from nothing. And I just thought it was just so neat to study and research that. Just some of the things that, man, they was into – devil worship, demonic stuff. Yeah. I don't want to get too deep into the history.
I know.
But, man, it's so much stuff that you got to read into to find out who they are. And so watch this. It says, I'm going to cut it short. It says, Gog is an abbreviated form of Magog and will signify the same principal people that made up modern Russia. Now watch this. Meshech is the sixth son of Japheth. Settled south of the Black Sea, according to the Hebrew scholar Jacinius, Meshech was the founder of the Moshi, a barbarous people who dwelt in the Moshian Mountains. The name became the root word, watch this, for the city of Moscow. Ain't that amazing?
Come on now.
So Meshech is from, so this was prophesied. This wasn't back in ancient times. They was foreseeing what was going to happen. So they saw Moscow thousands of years ago. Ain't that something?
Ain't that something?
Man, y'all better wake up. What the church needs to pay attention to is Russia. Now, I know we talked about China, but I told you who China was. We already know China represented in the scripture. China's barking right now. But that's the wars and the what? Rumors of wars. So they're barking.
Yeah.
So you have that. But this here is talking about the what? The battle of Armageddon. Man,
yeah.
The brother, me and the brother been talking, and I know we've been talking for a while. There is weaponry that they are hiding that, well, man, you can't even believe that the governments of the world have it. They are saving this for the battle of Armageddon. Man, Tubal, the fifth son of Japheth, was the founder of the Tiberini and people dwelling on the Black Sea, west of the Moshi, which is, again, Moscow. The name developed into Tobolsk, an ancient Siberian center. The two names, Mesech and Tubal, are almost always spoken of together in the Bible. The former was Russia's European capital. So I just want to share that with you. And there was just some more stuff I was reading on. I didn't really get a chance to go deep into the scriptures, but I did some research on it. I said, man, this is really amazing that we have to understand the prophecy that's unfolding before us so that we can know where we are. And like the brother said, you don't get this from church. I ain't never heard this stuff in church. I've been in church all my life, been preaching for 20 years, been ministering, pastoring now for more than 10 years, and I've never heard anybody, any other pastor talk about this stuff. This stuff is very, very important. But I just remember, brother, just watching some shows. And I'm going to throw this out there so if you people get a chance to listen, there's a show called Gladiator. Came out, I think, in either the late 90s or the early 2000s. If you watch that show, you'll see who these people are. And there's some more shows that I've been watching, some more movies that I've seen that represent the people of Gog and Magog. I said, Lord have mercy. They're showing us the stuff in movies. And people not even paying it no attention. This is who these people who have become to build up. They came from nothing. It talks about the robberies that these folks came from. They were barbarians. See, you know, people don't understand what nomads and barbarians are. Nomads are heathens. If they don't believe in God, they don't act right. These are your worst of your worst. These are your rapists. This is what they do, man. They rape, they kill, they don't care about. These are your thugs of thugs. If you want to know what these are your thugs.
Come on.
And this is what they are. And these people, amen, we already know how it works. When you serve Satan, they have been blessed to move up to what? A superpower on this planet. Oh, y'all not hearing what I'm saying? They are a super planet, a superpower nation. They came from nothing. People don't understand what I'm saying. When you come from nothing, I'm talking about nothing. You may eat anything. You may eat a dog or rat, anything. You mean they came from nothing. They had nothing, and they have built it. So this is who we're talking about. They were so bad that cannibalism, that was something that was in the norm. And they may still do it today because we know people who serve the Illuminati. What do? They are involved in cannibalism, man.
Yeah,
all kind of evil, wicked, low down, evil, dirty things. And this is what we're talking about. Man, I found that so interesting, bro. When I realized, I was like, my gosh, that's the first thing that came to my mind was that movie Gladiator. When I read that, I said, man, this was the people the Romans, they were like hot class. They was a world superpower. You know, they dressed nice, they carried themselves sumptuously. You know, they thought high and they looked down on these people because they were going around conquering smaller nations and smaller clans and making them a part of it. They were just growing. And the Romans were concerned. Now, some of the Roman Jews were concerned. They said, man, maybe we need to do something about these people because they are growing. And the Romans said, what, they're not a threat to our empire, so there's no need. So the Romans turned around and left that part of Europe and just left them alone. And I was just so amazed by that, brother. Amen. But I just want to share my study Gog and Magog. So that's my Gog and Magog that I learned tonight. And maybe one day I'm going to come back and do some more study and research on that.
Right,
that was very interesting, brother. Amen. If you want me to talk about a little bit of salvation just for five minutes, if you want me to, but I can kind of throw some salvation out there. Amen. Some things that I've been studying.
Yes,
amen. So you know, we just want the church to know. If
yes.
you know anybody, tune
yes.
them into the radio show. We want as many souls to be saved, even if those that are lost, we love you. We want the world to know that, man, it's for you. Amen. God is for you. Eternal life is not going to be like I've heard some preachers. I heard somebody say on one of them YouTube videos, as if we ought to be afraid. That is not true. When God come back to get the church, do you know how happy Christ is going to be to see the saints? This is the
yeah,
lamb
man.
And the bride.
Yeah.
Think of it like when a man's about to get married. Man, a man love his wife. He can't wait to turn his fiance into his wife. Man, when he see
yeah.
her and she's just beautiful walking down that aisle, man, that just joy. A lot of folks know what I'm talking about. That just joys the man. Or you just smile because you're going to spend the rest of your life with the person that you love. So how do you think Christ feels about us? He's going to spend, we're going to spend all eternity with Christ. And you think he can't wait? God can't wait? The angels in heaven can't wait?
That's
the angels
right.
can't wait to meet. Man, no, this is going to be a joyous time. It's going to be like a great, big family reunion. You ain't
yeah,
got
no.
nothing to worry about because once you confess with your mouth, the Bible said, once
Come
you
on.
Believe in your heart, man, you can best believe it's going to be like one big family. I'm going to get to see the pastor in the bazaar. Hey, man, I'm going to get to see a lot of more of the other saints. Man, the folks that's listening, even though I may never see you, guess what? One day I'm going to get to see. We're going to get to talk. We're going to remember
Hallelujah.
This time. Hey, we're going to be speaking and just glorifying God for all eternity. Man, you're going to get to walk on the streets of gold. You're going to have a bright
Hallelujah.
Garment that's going to be so beautiful. Brother, hallelujah, brother. Hallelujah. We're going to have a garment that's going to be so beautiful. Oh, man, you're going to have you may have a crown or some crowns depending on your works. You're going to have crowns.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're going to be decked out. You ain't going to know what to do with yourself. This stuff right here, you think Louis Vuitton and Rocketware and all this clothes, Fendi, you think all this stuff, man, this stuff is tricky. This stuff is like bubblegum and stickers compared to what you're going to get when you go to heaven. Man, God, he going to set you right. He going to hook you
Woo.
Up. So, brother, amen, I can't wait till we get there. I'm loving this opportunity, amen, to speak the word to the saints and to reveal so many different things to you all. Amen. Again, we love y'all. We just want you to receive salvation. Again, the easiest thing to do is to become saved. I never knew this.
Come on now.
Amen. Until over 20 years ago, amen, after I became saved, I didn't know about it when I got saved. I didn't learn that salvation was this simple to after I got saved. Amen. Me and my brother was talking. He revealed some things to me. I'm going to share this, and I'm gonna turn over to you, brother, in about a minute, if you don't mind. I'll have to share
Go
this.
Go ahead, bro. Sorry,
amen.
Ahead, bro.
When I first got saved, amen, I was like, man, my first 6 months, I was just like, man, something is not right. I said, man, I'm just struggling. I'm like, why does it seem like I'm working so hard for my salvation? I'm trying to think right. I'm trying to see right.
Yeah,
in other words,
yeah.
I'm trying to watch where my eyes watching. Amen. I try to make sure, you know, I'm certain words, you know, not to use certain words. But when I got saved, then that's one thing I can say when I got saved. It's like the language just went away. You know, I didn't have a problem with my tongue. Amen. But for some reason, just some things, some quantum things I had to work on. I was just like, man, and to my brother Sherwin, he said, brother, he said, salvation is simple as confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. He said, salvation is not a works. He said, salvation is of faith. I said, are you sure? I said, man, I don't know about that. I said, man, we weren't raised like that. He said, I know. I said, that's how I understand. I know that's not how we were raised, but I'm here to tell you that that's not salvation. Salvation is not by works. Salvation is by faith. He said, and once you become saved, the Holy Spirit will come in and deliver you. Man, when he told me that, shared that with me, and not only him, but another young pastor shared that same message to me over 20 years ago, and I've been preaching this same message for more than 20 years, and I've done my study, and I'm the type of person that if you share something with me, I ain't going to just take your word for that. But I did some study, some research, and some. I said, you know what? They right. And the one scripture, right. The one last scripture, brother, I'm going to turn it back over to you. I got to share this scripture with you. And this made perfect sense. Now, if this don't make no sense to you, I don't really know what else to tell you. But watch what this says. This is St. John, the 10th chapter, verses 27 through 30, if I may. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and
thank
I know
you,
them, and they follow me. Amen. Lord, how much that sounds so, brother. That sounds like sweet music. I can't wait to see him. He says in verse 28, he says, and I give unto them eternal life, and
right.
they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Brother, if that is the most assuring scripture, or one of the most assuring scriptures in the Bible that you are saved and that you don't have to worry about your salvation, that God, Christ, has you, and he said eternal life, I said, you know what? I said, he right. They right, because if I get eternal life now, how can I even lose it? It's just that simple.
Come on.
Brother, go ahead. Amen. Doctor.
Brother, what can I say? What can I say? The word is right. The word is real. The word is authentic.
Amen.
The word is genuine. Amen. Because if it wasn't for that shed blood of Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be here today.
Yes.
If I was here today, I'd probably be out there in the beer garden, be with some woman, amen, having fun and trying to enjoy life on my own accord if it wasn't for Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Son of the living God. And see, the birth, the suffering, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a centerfold. Get me now. The centerfold of the gospel. Without that, church going and all that stuff, it ain't going to do it. Your good looks ain't going to do it. Your money ain't going to do it. Your mama can't do it. Your daddy can't do it. Your sister can't do it. The Pope can't do it. The bank do it. The preacher can't do it. Nobody could do what Jesus Christ done. He took your place on the cross. He took, what you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about you should have been nailed. Now, wait a minute. If I would have been nailed on the cross, I wouldn't even have got to the cross. I would have ran. I can't die for my sin. Lord, I can't die for my sin. And I know I'm a sinner. I can't die. Lord, I can't do it. So if I can't do it, if my mama can't do it, my sister can't do it, who can do it? Nobody but Jesus.
Amen.
This Bible says he is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. That's what we're trying to, that's what we're trying to drive into your spirit. You need Jesus Christ in your life. You've got to repent. You got to come to Jesus on your own and confess, Lord, Lord, I am a sinner. I am low down. I am a wicked person. I am lost. I don't have no hope. I don't have no joy. And the little joy that I can try to get, I try to get it off of marijuana. I try to get it off of LSD. I try to give up on sex experience. I try to get an ecstasy that, oh, man, it would last forever. But it don't last forever. It don't last a minute or two. It might last 3 or 4 hours. And then you come up off of your high and you in the same old spot. But when you come to Jesus, oh, my God, when you come to Jesus Christ, he will change you forever. He will save your soul forever. He will never let you go. I don't care what you got to go through. I don't care who try to talk you down and use your name and lie on it. I don't care. Jesus Christ said, I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. Let me tell you, you're always even to the world, even into the world. Let me tell you, those that listen to me, those that listen to Brother Tim, the world is coming to an end. What you mean, preacher? I'm talking about the world of sin. The world of damnation, the world of killing and murdering, the world of lying and cheating and stealing, the world of what? Damnation is getting ready to end. God is getting ready to wrap it up. Before he wrap it up, he's giving me warnings. He's giving you warnings. He's giving the preachers warnings. He's giving every human being on this planet a warning. Repent, please. Please repent. Come to acknowledge that you are lost and you need a Savior. And when you come to Christ, he will change your life. You will become a new creature. Old things will pass away, and you will shout forevermore. If I would let my shout out on this earth right now, people would have to lock me up because I'd be shouting for the goodness of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He saved my soul, and guess what? He has never left me. Make no difference what I got to go through. And what Brother Tim and I and the Word of God is trying to tell you, you need to, if you saved and those that listen to me, you need to go grab a friend somewhere and bring them to your radio, wherever your radio is or wherever your internet is, and bring them and tell them, sit down, man, listen to this word. This man ain't preaching his own word. He's not preaching something that come off the wall. We're preaching end time ministry to let the world know you better get right, because if you miss the rapture, the rapture, you're going to have to face the awesome person that you will ever meet, and that will be the devil personally inside of the Antichrist. He will literally possess the body of this Antichrist after the Antichrist is shot with a bullet through his head, and it will happen in the middle of the tribulation, and Lucifer will fall from the first and second heaven. The UFOs and all the demons that's in first and second heaven now, because this Halloween is showing you exactly the works of the devil, because they're going to take little kids out, the mamas and the daddies going to go out, and they're going to go knocking on doors, and they're going to look like skeleton, and they're going to look like Fright Night, and they're gearing up for Satan, amen, they're coming actually, oh my God, they're coming up out of the earth and celebrate this as Halloween. They're worshiping. Listen to me. They're worshiping the devil. Don't you get it? They're worshiping the devil. Jesus Christ died on the cross to defeat all these wicked spirits and condemn them. And then you going out telling your child, go ahead and make up your face and put on this witch house, witch hat, and go through the helter-skelter haunted house. And feel those evil spirits scaring you. And guess what? The parents are taking their children out on the street. Why? They should be taking them to a Bible study. They should be taking them to Sunday school. They should be taking them to not religious meetings, but Christian teaching about the love and the joy that Jesus Christ had. And now we're living in that last days. For the close of this church age. The church age is almost over. It's almost over because the church has already fulfilled its mission. And the Bible said before Christ comes, there shall be a falling away. Falling away from, falling away from the Christian teaching that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, came in the flesh, justified by the angel, received up into glory, and coming back again. Prepare your children. Prepare your sons. Prepare your daughters. Take that Bible, amen, and you don't have to go fanatical about it, but take your Bible and get on your knees and tell the Lord, we need direction. We need direction. And what we're doing on this broadcast, we're trying to tell you what's getting ready to happen in these next few years. And now, as simple as ABC, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead after 3 days in the heart of the earth, and now Christ, God's Spirit, God's Son, is able to live inside of you. And you know you are blessed to life because you what? Love the brother. I love white people. I love black people. I love ugly people. I love pretty people. I love people's what? I just don't love them for their physical look. I love their soul because their soul is too precious to die and go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. No, please don't go. I put up all kind of signs. I put up a railroad sign. I put up road sign. Don't go this way. Look to the cross. for in the cross there is salvation. Deliver my soul from the depths of hell. But the world is saying now, I don't believe in that hogwash. I don't told you once before. Man, it's been going on like this for 6,000 years. It seems like it ain't been
right.
But it's happening all through the 6,000 years, and it's coming to an end. So what we always want to do, we want to first introduce to you salvation. Then we're going to talk about the end time message of Gog and Magog. And that brother had, brother, you had some good information. I read that, but it's been a long time since I read that. How these gladiators, amen. They kill their babies. They rape pregnant women. They do all kinds. And this is why Satan is in control of the world. This is what happened in the Garden of Eden. You see, what happened, Adam and Eve sold us out. They sold us out. And now we're paying for it. But Jesus Christ said, yes, you got sold out, but I got power to redeem you. I got power to save you. I got power to do what you want me to do, and that is save my soul from hell. Man, if the Lord don't do nothing else for me, if he don't give me another meal, if he don't give me another set of clothes or new shoes, I thank God Almighty that he saved my soul from hell. I don't want to go to hell. I'm not going to hell. And Jesus Christ died so I wouldn't have to go to hell. Because if I go to hell, it'll be my fault. Not my mama, not my daddy, not my brother. It's going to be my fault. And this is the best time right now. Not tomorrow. Right now is the best time to accept Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you can have him. Guess what? Free. Don't have to pay tax. You don't have to have no IRS checking you out, see how much you got. Amen, because the devil ain't got nothing to do with this. Oh, the devil can't touch this. Huh?
That's right.
He can't touch this. He can't touch this salvation that Jesus Christ has brought to the world. And the world is licking their tongue at God.
Amen.
And before we close this section tonight, somebody going to come to Jesus Christ tonight. I feel it in my bones.
Yeah.
Because he still got some Gog and Magog to talk about. And I'm going to take maybe about 5 or 10 minutes, and I'm going to hand it back to the sister. But the information that he had, amen, that is real. That is real. Josephus was a good historian, and he wrote all about those wars that the Jews had. And I looked up another thing. I looked up and tried to find out how many wars the world had. And I gave it up. It's unnumberable. Wars have been fought ever since the beginning of time. The first family war was when Cain killed Abel. The first family war was in the 14th chapter of the Genesis, where five kings rebelled against four kings. And then Abraham trained 318 men in his own house and went out and recaptured Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah, because these kings had took him captive. There was war. There was war. First war was in the 14th chapter. Ever since the 14th chapter of Genesis, the world has been filled with war. Where do war come from? War comes from the throne of God when Lucifer wanted to war against God. He wanted to dethrone God and take the whole house of the angelic beings and put them in charge of helping him rule the world. He tried to do that. And Satan was rebuked by God, and ever since then, Satan hates God. Can't you understand what I'm trying to say? Satan hates God because Satan couldn't have his way, and his pride got in his way. And he said, I'm going to take, if I don't get all of them, I'm going to get one-third of heaven, of angels in heaven, and I'm going to go down to earth, and I'm going to make a wreck out of it. Guess what? The earth today is a wreck. Satan has made a wreck out of the earth. He has polluted it. He has did everything he did to kill. He's killing babies now. He's raping. Shooting and racial discrimination and folks' prejudice and because of the color of the skin. They don't like, Satan is trying to destroy the races. He don't want the races to come together. And the reason why, because when the races come together, he's been defeated. White man can't love black man because black man was suffered under the white man. No, wait a minute. You ain't suffering under the white man. You're suffering under Lucifer. Devil can get in anything and make them act just like he does. When you see him cussing and lying, cheating and backbiting in the church, oh, my God, don't mention the church. You got more fighting and killing in the church because you don't have to go, you don't have to have a gun to kill somebody. You can kill people with your mouth. The Bible says if you hate your brother, you're a murderer already, and eternal life does not abide in you. Now, here's what I can't understand, because I know what it is. It's hypocrite. People in the church talking about they love God, and they actually hate their brother. Come on, man. When they say they love God, they can look at God's face and say, God, I love you. I love you so much. But I hate the brother over there. I hate that son. But I love you. And the Bible ends up calling you a liar. You are a bad, bald-headed liar because you cannot love God whom you've never seen, and you got your brother right here in your face, and you talking about you hate him because he got a better car than you or he got more money than you. Or the color of your skin is a little darker than mine, a little whiter than mine. Or you got more children than I do. Or you got a... You ain't got no love of God in your heart. Shoot. Who you fooling? You fooling yourself because you're not fooling God Almighty. And no man can come to God and say they love God and hate their brother. The Bible says you're a liar. We're living in the last days. God and Magog. I'm going to get 5 more minutes. I'm going to give it over to Brother Kim. Gog and Magog is an example of total rebellion against God Almighty. And the devil's been rebelling against God Almighty ever since the beginning of time. And now he wants to rebel against God and his people. He is coming up against the mountain of Israel in the 38th and the 39th chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a powerful prophet. He prophesied of the return of the Jews in the 37th chapter. He prophesied in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel, the land will be blessed at the end time. And Israel today's land has been blessed beyond recognition. They can't grow enough. Amen. They can grow all season round. They're growing watermelon, cantaloupe, grapes, everything. They got a good production of food. They have cattle. They got oil. They got gas. They got mountains, and they got, cattle, all that stuff. They're rich. And yet still they're in the land. And by them being in the land, Russia has always been an atheistic country. Khrushchev, Stalin, Kaiser, all those men were rebellious dictators. They hated God. And by them hating God, they never took on a lash to Christianity. They hate Christ. They hate the crucifixion. They hate the birth, death, and the resurrection. If Jesus Christ would come back down here again, amen, they'll kill him again. Why? Because Satan can't stand anybody. Why? Right. Because he's God Almighty. He knows he's defeated. And by him knowing him to be defeated, he is trying to eliminate God's people. The Russians is Gog and Magog. And not to read that into more than that a little deeper, there are going to be 5 other nations that will be confederate with the Russian government. Putin is the Gog. Gog is a title. Putin is a non-believer. He is atheistic, but he acts like he's religious. He is religious, but he don't believe in the power of the Almighty. Russia is an atheistic country. If you would be a Christian in Haiti, you would have to go underground. You cannot come on the street. In America,
Amen.
You can preach about Jesus Christ. But in Russia, you're not allowed to speak on anything about Jesus Christ. Any other religions, you can. But if you speak that Jesus Christ died and rose again and he's coming back to get a church, your head belongs to the guillotine, because they will cut you, hang you, boil you. They don't want Christianity in Russia. They don't want Christianity in China. These are atheist countries that don't believe in God. But yet still, there are Christians in Russia. There are Christians in China. And, buddy, let me tell you something. You talking about revivals? They are having revivals. Why? Because they don't have nobody else to depend on. But look at America. My God, we got churches on every corner. Whoa, we got Bible classes. We got Bible study. And we are still stupid and ignorant of the word of God. We are going around here talking about we know the Lord and hoping God and loving one another, but yet still behind God's back and behind other people's back, you live just like the devil. And if America is going to get any help from God, she's going to have to repent. That includes me and everybody else that's with me and everybody else that's not with me. We're going to have to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that when the rapture of the church comes, we can be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So this 38 and 39th chapter of Ezekiel gives us a picture of 26 years of prophecy, because when Ezekiel made this prophecy, it was about 606 BC in Babylon. When he was in Babylon, he made this prophecy, and it stretched all the way across BC, came all the way across to A.D., and since we're in A.D. now, we are coming to the close where this battle will take place, after the rapture. After the rapture occurs, God is going to remove the church, and the men of the earth is going to shake like jello, because the Lord said, I'm going to do a thing like I've never done before. I'm going to do this. I'm going to sanctify myself. I'm going to prove that I am the Lord God Almighty. Woo, my God, I can't wait. I can't wait.
Amen, doctor.
I can't wait. Oh, if the church only knew, if the preachers only knew, if they would only get behind the pulpit and tell us, like, hey, look, we better get our act together.
That's right.
That Jesus Christ is coming back. And when he comes back, the world is going to know that this God is going to shake the heavens and the earth. Why? Because the final showdown at OK Corral is getting ready to come on now.
That's
the
it.
That world is coming on down. Japan in Midway going to come on down. Woo! Hitler came on down. Why? Because he got too high. And God Almighty brought him down. He brought Japan down. And if America don't wake up, my God, if the black folks don't wake up, if the white folks don't wake up, if the Chinese, Japanese don't wake up, we are going to see the greatest slaughter that God ever done since the flood. Because the whole army of Russia, only 1/6 of that army is going to be left. And they're going to be driven back into Siberia. It's going to be such a slaughter. It's going to be such a great slaughter until the bodies will lay in the mountains and people will have to bury them and it will start stinking up the place.
Yes.
And they're going to burn them so it will be sanctified the land. It's going to be such a slaughter. The TVs and the radios and all the soap operas and all the game shows and all the football, they're going to stand still. They're going to stand still. God, what is going on? The heavens and the earth is shaking. What happened in the land of Israel? They tell me the Russian army has been slaughtered by supernatural, the divine providence of the Lord God Almighty, and the fishes of the sea. What's going on? You see, God, and I'm going to turn it over to the brother, God is telling to tell you, my grace is sufficient. I love my I love the Russian people. I love the black people. I love the white people. I love my Jewish brethren. That was a very important nation in my life. This is Jesus. In my life, who was able to keep the sacred scriptures and was able to bring the Savior into the world and was able to break loose from idolatry and preach the gospel during the tribulation period. And let me tell you now, we as brothers and sisters, we need to come together. We need to grab somebody by the head. We need to fall on our knees and enclose our heart and mind and say, brother, do you need the Lord? Brother, do you want to be saved? Yes, sir. I want to be saved. What do I have to do? One thing you got to do is repent and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and tell him, what? Come on in. Come on in, Jesus. Please, Jesus, come on in. I want you to change my cussing and my lying and my backbiting and my hypocrite and my so-called member of the sanctified choir. I'm tired of living this old double standard life. I'm tired of trying to fool people. I want you to come in.
Amen.
Sanctify that I can tell the world I know in whom I believe in. It's just as simple as that. Brother Tim?
Amen. Amen, Doctor. Awesome word. Amen. Awesome word. Amen. Amen. I want to share with you, amen, a mystery. Paul talked about one of the greatest mysteries, amen, in the Bible. Amen. The Bible tracks history.
Yeah.
The Bible time. Amen. So we always know where we are. Amen. And God has ways of revealing to his people, through his spirit, the things that are going on to warn. Amen. The Bible always said warning comes for destruction. And I want to share with you, amen, the brother made a good point. In fact, while it's on my heart, while it's on my mind, the brother made a strong point. He said if the saints are not going to leave before the great tribulation, who is Christ coming back with? Amen. Amen, bro. That was awesome. Amen. I'm about to use that. Amen. That's the truth. That's for the people who believe that the church is going to go through the tribulation. Amen. I know we said it. We're going to continue to say it. Either until he returns or until we can't say it anymore. The church will not go through the tribulation. So if you feel like you need to buy all the toilet paper you need, all the hand sanitizer, all the water, all the dry food, all the guns and bullets, all the bombs, whatever you feel like you need to survive that 7-year period, I'm here to tell you there's nothing on this planet, there's nothing you can do to prepare. Only way you can prepare for what's coming is through our Lord and Savior, Yahshua. That's the only way. When that trumpet blow, Lord have mercy, God. We are looking forward to the, I don't know about y'all, but doctor, I know you and me, brother. We look for him every day. I'm talking about every day. I'm looking for
every
that sky to roll back. I'm just waiting for that horn to blow. And people act like that's a bad thing. No, that's a good thing for the saints. End times. We are in the latter days. We're not at the end of the world yet. The end of the world is going to end great. So that's one thing I love about God. He does all things decent and in order. He's not going to leave the world in a mess. See, the 7 years, the world going to be punishments and judgments. Amen? Punishments and judgments. The Lord's day. And what's going to happen? Amen. We've been talking about that last 3.5 years is going to be something fierce that last 3.5 years. 7 bowls, 7 trumpets, 7 seals. And guess what? 7 thunders, which John was not permitted to write. There's going to be 7 events, 7 things that's going to happen. 7 thunders. And if you ask me, compared to the bowls, the trumpets, and the seals, Man, if you know like I know, thunder ain't nothing to play with because we know what happens.
You know,
amen. If thunder and lightning go hand in hand, amen, doctor. My dad used to always say, amen, we don't play. When it's thunder, you cut off the TV, you cut off all the electricity. He said, he didn't care if you take a nap, you read a book, go to sleep, do whatever you got to do. But when it's thunder, amen, he said, no electricity be going in my house. That's how we used to do it, amen. Had one of my old school dads. He didn't play that. Amen. But the
amen.
Seven thunders, John was not permitted to reveal to man. Lord have mercy. We don't even know what's going on. And just one thunder sounds like, Lord have mercy. But seven thunders.
Tell it, brother.
Lord, you don't want to be here. The only way you can prepare for the tribulation, amen, is to not
amen,
even be
bro.
Here. Is to not even be here. But when that trumpet sound and the shout from the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ, Lord have that's gonna be a day. You're
that's
talking
gonna
about
be
a day.
Day.
That's gonna be a day. The saints are gonna be gathered together in the heavens.
Ooh.
They're gonna
Ooh,
be gathered together
the
in the heavens. We're gonna be forever with Christ. To go back and receive our rewards. Now watch this. The graves are going to be opened up. They got the grave got to give them up. The cast,
give them up.
The ground,
yeah.
It's got to give up. It's got to
yeah.
give up them bodies and them souls. Man, it's going to be, they're going to get a brand new glorified body. Let me share this with
Come
you.
Come on.
Let me share this with you real quick. Because I have my heart on what my brother said. Go over to the book of Jude.
Uh-oh.
There's
Uh-oh.
Only one book, the book of Jude.
Uh-oh.
It's right before Revelation. And let's see what it says. What, watch this. This is verse 14. It's a key verse.
Okay.
And it said, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things. Now, he spoke about these things thousands, almost back since the time of Adam. Almost
yeah,
2,000 years ago, over 5,000 years ago. Ooh, man, that's some serious prophecy. That's ancient. 5,000 years? Man, we talk about 100 years ago is ancient. That's long ago. 200, 500 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years. Christ was over 2,000 years ago. But over 5,000 years ago? Watch what it says. It says, amen, doctor. It said Enoch prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh. Who is it talking about?
Uh-huh.
Our Lord and Savior. Lord have mercy. When you see him, oh, man, there ain't going to be nothing nice. Amen. He going to come back, man. Look at here. He going to come back on them horses. He said, the Lord cometh with what? 10,000s of his saints. See, back then, there was no need to count into millions like we do now. They ain't getting the billions. There just was no need. Life was more simpler over 5,000 years ago. Man walked the earth. They herded sheep and cattle, and it was just real simple back then. They gathered grapes and ate fruits, and, you know, if they cooked them some meat, it was real simple. They hunted. There was no need to count to the hundreds and to the thousands and tens of thousands and millions. They didn't need to get into all that. But he said, with 10,000, in other words, he was saying there was so many of it. 10,000 of his saints. And watch what it says. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their what ungodly deeds. Amen. And it says, which they have ungodly committed. And of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against
Ooh.
Him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration. Because that is the day and time we live in right now. This was over 5,000 years ago. Enoch prophesied this day was going to come. We are living, here we are almost 5,000 years later, close to 6,000 years. Amen. I'm just giving you an example. Amen. I don't know if it's 5,000, but I'm just telling you, it's been over thousands of thousands of years ago. He said this, and can you imagine? We are living in this time today.
Right now.
We're over the earth, right now, prophesying, speaking to you, bringing you these things, what type of man and woman you ought to be at this day and at this hour. People are dying. Every time you look up on social media, the news, people are dying left and right, young people, old people. They find people in cars dead. They find people hung, people burnt up in cars, shot, killed. Man, look at her, and people are still playing, talking about what you going to do this weekend. Lord, have mercy.
Come on, Lord.
What type of man or woman should you be at this day? They finding people with body parts missing, people with their insides missing, eyeballs missing. Lord, have mercy.
Come on, man. Tell it.
Evil and wicked men and women or women are in control. Wicked, evil. You don't think that's evil and wicked? That's, see, because they showed you so much evil and wicked stuff on the TV that stuff becomes callous. When you hear it, it's like there ain't nothing to you. Man, when I hear that stuff, doctor, to me, that is evil. What type of man could take a kid, a child, a baby, a woman, take them off somewhere, do unspeakable things to them, and then take parts from the body? Man, what kind of person are you? What kind of person are you to conspire to kidnap a kid and take them away from their loved one? What type of man or woman are you?
Demon.
Diabolical. People around the clock doing all kind of plotting, watching, scheming, evil.
Evil.
This man, look at here. Let me share with you the mystery that Paul spoke about. Then I'm going to say goodnight and turn back over to the brother, but I got to share this mystery. Watch what Paul said. This is one of the greatest mysteries, because why? We don't know the day or the hour, of his return.
Amen.
But this is why we got to be what? Prepared. All that you ain't got to do, it's time to prepare for the eternity. Man, folks out here trying to get licenses and business degrees and open up business, and that's fine. But make sure that your soul is right with the Most High before it is too late. Make sure that when that horn blow, when them trumpets blow, you do not want to be a part of this crowd that's going to be on this earth. Man, you people think they want to be here. Man, let me tell you. Seven bowls, seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven thunders. But what's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 51 and 52. Watch what Paul said. Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Come on now. Yes. Amen. That word in the Greek is mysterion. And what it means is, he said, "Behold, I show you a secret." Woo! See, only those of us that study the word, those of us that have the Spirit of God, has this secret been revealed to. She ain't a secret to us. She's a secret to the man or woman that like to get drunk and go party. It's a secret to the sinners out there. They don't know what's about to hit this planet. Like the brother said, they think this coronavirus, oh, man, this is a joke. The stuff that's happening right now is a joke. People out here kidnapping and organ harvesting. Man, what I'm trying to tell you is that the evil things that's under the earth and the underground and on the black market, all the underground dirty evil things is going to come up to the surface of this earth. And, man, let me tell you, what man or woman you ought to be at this day and time, at this hour, you should choose salvation. Amen. Because let me tell you right now, what's going to come on? This brother talking about the alien spaceship that's coming. Man, let me tell you, there's going to be more than that that's going to hit this planet. Man, you better get it right. All the things that they won't talk about in church, you best believe it's going to hit this planet. And you do not want to be here when it happens. But watch this great escape. Watch what Christ got for those of us that love him. He says, watch this. He says, we shall not all sleep, But we shall be what? All be changed in a moment. That's faster than you could blink. In a twinkling of an eye, that's faster than I can blink. That's faster than I can think. He going to change your body. Woo, you ain't going to know what's happening. You're going to be reading the book. You're going to be taking a shower. You're going to be driving your car. You're going to be coming home from work. You may be on an airplane. We don't know where you're going to be. But in Lord's day, John said I was in the spirit. He said in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, amen, we shall be changed. He said at the last trump, on that last trump, see the first trump, the dead in Christ shall rise. Man, them bodies going to come out. But he says, what's what he said? He said, those of us that are what? Alive and remain, amen, shall be caught up. In other words, we're not going to proceed. In other words, the dead are going to be risen first. They're going to be with Christ. And then we're going to come up next. And watch what he said. He says, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. What does that mean, doctor? Preacher, what does that mean? That means these glasses that I wear, oh, my God, I ain't got to wear them no more. All this hair that I done lost, amen. He may bless me with some hair, amen, when he come back. Amen. These wrinkles and all this weight I didn't put on, amen, it's going to go away. Amen. I ain't picked up that much weight. Amen. But I got some love handles I wish I could live without. Amen. Amen. This injuries that I've had, amen, they're going to be all gone. Amen. It don't matter if it's your back injury, your knee injury. Amen. It don't matter if you lost the eye. You're going to have both your eyes. It don't matter if you lost your teeth in your mouth. You're going to have teeth again. He's going to change you. You're going to be incorruptible. See, what death has done, death and sin has corrupted the body. It's caused you to lose your hair, caused you to lose your eyesight, caused you to have high blood pressure, caused you to have diabetes, caused you to have aches and pains, caused you to have headaches, stress, amen, depression, amen. That's what corruption has done through sin and death and the devil has done. So he said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, he said that the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed.
Changed.
Lord, have mercy. You ought to want to be changed tonight. Amen. I'm like the brother. I feel it. Somebody going to receive salvation. This is your opportunity right now. Amen. There ain't no escape. I don't care where you are. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care what your last name is. I don't care what college you graduate from. I don't care how many degrees. There is no escape from what's coming. The only way you're going to escape what's coming through salvation.
Come on.
The only way that the children of Israel could be delivered, amen, is if they did what? Amen. They had to put that blood, amen. Amen. Yeah. They had to escape the death angel first, amen. And they had to do was just simply follow who? Moses out of Egypt. There's about to be a great exodus on this planet. The greatest exodus that has ever happened is about to hit this planet. Christ is going to blow. That horn's going to blow. I'm going to turn back over to the brother and say goodnight. That horn's going to blow, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up forever to be with him. Forever we're going to reign with Christ for all eternity. No more sickness, no more pain. Most of all, no more death. I don't know about you, brother, but I'm sick and tired of death. Every time you look up, somebody dying. Somebody being killed. Somebody been murdered. Somebody been taken advantage of. All this death and pain, it'll be no more. The Bible says that all of Satan, the fallen angels, the demons, the devils, the evil spirits, all the unbelievers cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And they will be tormented day and night without rest. There ain't no breaks. There ain't no cool-off period, ain't no snow, ain't no cold water, ain't no air conditioning. That's for all eternity. They're going to pay for their sins and what they did. Brother, God bless you. I love you.
God bless
you. Amen. We pray for salvation. Amen. I'm going to get out your way, brother. I'll talk to you later. And I'm praying for everyone.
Okay.
Amen, brother. I'm praying for y'all. Amen. Be blessed. Remember, you're royalty. I am royalty. Y'all have a good night. Good night, doctor.
Amen. God bless you. Brother Tim,
God
Brother Tim,
you.
Love you. You got me. You got me. If it was possible, I'd be falling at the altar saying, the Lord, save me again. Amen. Save me again. You brought something around there, around the corner down there. Amen. Stir my heart up. Amen. The only way that we can escape this, ain't no other way. All your drugs and all your women and all your good times and partying and all your sports escapades, and you can have all that, but it won't satisfy you or help you to escape what's coming up on the planet. Not because God said, I'm anxious to destroy the world. No, he's not anxious to destroy the world. He knows his time is running out to let the world go on this far. And God is a timely God. 6,000 years, he let man, amen, make his decision. And man seems like he's making his decision every day. And the decision is, I don't need you right now. I don't want you right now. I believe I can get to heaven off of my denomination. I believe I can get to heaven off of my good works. I believe I can get to heaven off the color of my skin. All kind of ways that you think you can escape the wrath of God. And there's no escape but one. Jesus Christ took your wrath, took your punishment, took all on Calvary's cross. He took it all. Your unknown sins, your sins that you know, your willful sins, your sins of omission, your sins of commission, he took it all. The devil ain't going to take nothing. He ain't going to give you nothing. The devil is going to give you three things. He's going to rob you, destroy you, or kill you. And that's what he's doing on the face of the earth in 2021. He's damning people's souls by one choice. People are making their choice not to receive Christ in their life. They don't want to receive Christ in their life. They are telling God that I prefer to have a good time and party and get my education and live the way I want to. I'll take care of my sins later on. And if I feel like I want to come to you, I'll come when I get ready. But it's not like that. The best time for you to come is when God say, come. Come to me. Come to me. Don't go to your friends. Come to me. Don't go to the bank. Come to me. Don't go to the preacher. Come to me. Jesus Christ is pleading. He's begging. He got down on his hands and knees in the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed for you. He had you in mind that one day you would come to him. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If you will open up, I'll come and sup with you. Now is the day of salvation. The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. We're living in that battle which is getting ready to occur pretty soon. The battle of Gog and Magog, Meshach and Tubal. The armies of the world will face Israel. They will go down up on the holy mountains of Israel with the horses, the chariots, the bows and arrows. They will come up to the mountain of Israel and claim the nation of Israel as being under their invasion. And if they get that spot, which I know they ain't going to get, but if they was to get that spot, they could rule the world from that point. Because Israel holds God's secrets that God gave Israel, secrets on all the unique ingenuity that God gave the Jewish people, because he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you through Abraham. I'm going to bless you through Isaac. I'm going to bless you through Jacob. I'm going to bless you through the 12 tribes. I'm going to bless you in every generation. And Israel have been blessed, but she have been rebellious. She have been become a wicked nation. And God said, because you become a wicked nation, I'm going to chastise you to a period of time that you will learn not to rebel against me. And since Israel, since 1948, has become a nation for the first time over the period of 2,600 years. She is now the head of the nations in warfare, in growing, in education, and oh my Lord. They got the best doctors, the best medical field, the best Air Force, the family value. They still got it, but they've been having problems. And God said, in the end time, I'm going to bring you back to the land of Israel under my mighty hand, and I'm going to restore your rightful place as the head of all nations of the world. And the only unheathen nation that existed on this planet was Israel. All other nations are heathenistic. Look how they're living. Look how they're killing each other. Look how they're raping their children. Look how the family values drop down to almost zero factor. Look how young people are living. Look how Hollywood is doing. Look at all the secret societies and the Illuminati and the Kabbalahs. Amen. Are using Satan worship to worship their own gods and rejecting the God of Abraham. And here we are now living in an age where people are making the wrong decisions. And people think we got a lot of time, but we don't have no time left. Well, we will never get back to the church values that we had in the early years. Church going is almost deleted. And then if you do go to church, what are you talking about? Are you talking about the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Talking about the way of holiness? Are you talking about loving your brother? Are you talking about the return of Jesus Christ? Are you talking about the tribulation period? Are you talking about the 144,000? Are you talking about the two witnesses? Are you talking about the invasion on Russia, invading Israel? Are you talking about the Mark 666 and the mark of the beast? Or are you talking about the return of Jesus Christ back on this earth to rule and reign for 1,000 years? Is the church explaining that to the clergy and to the population and telling them, except you be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God? Are they teaching that Jesus Christ is actually absolutely uniquely God Almighty in the flesh, and that he suffered for your low-down, rotten, dirty self, sinful, cursing, drunkard, liar, whoremongering, adulterous, incest? Are you realizing that if you die in that kind of condition, you're going to bust hell wide open? I don't care how cute you are. I don't care how well-dressed you are. You can be the well-dressed man on the planet and be dirty as a tin can, because there's an inside cleaning. There's an inside cleaning. And the only thing that can clean you from the inside out is the what? Huh? The blood. The blood. The capital B-L-O-O-D. The blood of the Lamb. The book of Revelation is here. And Christ is not going to be revealed from heaven until the seven-year tribulation is over. When the seven-year tribulation is over, this is how Christ is going to reveal himself from heaven. In the book of Revelation, at the 19th chapter, you can mark this in your Bible. This is the revealing of Jesus Christ in the 19th chapter of Revelation at the end of the tribulation period. At the end of the tribulation period, 11th verse, 19th chapter says, John said, and I saw heaven open. So actually, the heavens that you see up in the sky right now, that heaven. And behold, a white horse, two white horses. White horse in Revelation 6th chapter, and the white horse in Revelation the 19th, 11th chapter. The white horse on the sixth chapter of Revelation is the Antichrist. And now the Antichrist will meet Jesus Christ when he comes back from heaven at the Battle of Armageddon. Listen to it with this second white horse. Listen to it. And he that sat upon him was called faithful. Is God faithful? And true. Is God true? And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. God got a battle to fight with Lucifer. And Lucifer got a battle to fight with God. And Lucifer has the whole human race rebelling against God. And Jesus Christ comes from heaven. And when he comes from heaven, he's going to judge the unrighteous that Satan have captivated and rebelled against God and judge them and make war on the earth at the battle of Armageddon. And he is not going to be dressed in no stained blood garment. He's not going to be picked on. He's not going to be kicked on. He's not going to be spit on. And he said his eyes were as flame of fire. So he come in with flaming eyes, fire eyes. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vessel dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the army which were in heaven followed him. And upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he shall smite the nation. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of his fierce wrath of the Almighty God. This is God saying, I'm done. I'm done. I done gave man an opportunity to change his wicked ways. I done gave man 6,000 years of human history and worked with him down through the years. And now at the end of the tribulation period, I'm going to go down in the dressing room. I'm going to put on my white robe. I'm going to tell my eyes to turn fiery red. I'm going to cause a two-edged sword to come out of my mouth, and I'm going to go out in my divine corral and get on my white horse, and I'm going to tell all the saints that's going to be with me in heaven, I'm going to tell them to mount up. Good God Almighty, I'm going to mount up in heaven. I'm going to get on my white horse and ride down through the stratosphere. I'm going to ride down through the atmosphere. I'm going to ride down through the six atmospheres of time and the sky. The SKY is going to roll back like a scroll. When it rolls back like a scroll, the whole world, good God Almighty, the whole world is going to cry out. And what are they going to cry out? They're going to cry out, the king is coming. The king is on his way. And if you would look in the sixth chapter of Revelation, the same event happens in the sixth chapter to let you know how the reaction is going to be on the population of the earth. And John the Revelator said in the sixth chapter, the 14th verse, and the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island was moved out of their places. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and cried out to the mountains and rocks, said, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. for the day, for the great day of the Lord, and his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? The sixth chapter of Revelation gives you the event of the reaction of the population of the earth when Jesus comes back. Because when he comes back, the earth's going to be populated. There's going to be some people left that's going to be alive. And when they see Jesus Christ, all the high class, sophisticated, Illuminati's are going to cry out to the mountains, cry out to the hills, cry out to the rocks to fall on them, to hide them from the face of one that sits on the throne. So my friends, let me tell you something. There's no way. There's no way you're going to be able to stand in that day in your sins and be with Jesus. There's no way that you can be in the presence of God in your sins when he comes back. There's no way. You can't go down to no church. You can't go down to no preacher. You can't go down to no pope. You can't go down to no religious organization to find some way that you can face Jesus. You cannot face Jesus Christ until you accept him as your Lord and Savior. Your goodness, your works, your friends, nothing. Unclean can face the second coming of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Follow peace with all men and holiness, for without, no man can see the Lord. That means Jesus Christ must be your Savior in your soul, in your mind, in your spirit, before you can ever come before Jesus Christ in his glorified body. You need to know Christ tonight. You need to know him in the pardon of your sins. You need to confess to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that, Lord, I am lost. I am on my way to hell because I don't know you. I never accept you. I never could understand the way of salvation. I was told that you had to do this and don't do that and do this and don't do that and you can have this and don't do that, that you can be saved. Well, you can't be saved that away. You can't be saved until you turn from your wickedness. And you consider, some people consider a person that does a whole lot of bad things to be wicked. But you know what a wicked person is? I'm going to tell you what a wicked person is. Don't you forget it. A wicked person is a person that's born in sin, shaped in iniquity, grows up, never accepted Jesus Christ. And when he's offered the way of salvation and he rejects it, he's wicked. Because that's God's son wooing you in to come and accept him. Because the only way that you can come to God is through his son Jesus Christ, and you reject it. You're telling God, Almighty, you're telling God that your death, your resurrection, your salvation is not sufficient enough to save me. You're telling God, I don't want that way to get back to God. I want my own way. You're telling God, I can be good enough. Amen. If I be good enough and don't do certain things, then one day I'll die. I'll meet you in heaven. No, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. No unregenerated person a person who has never been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ will never, 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 never enter into the kingdom. You got to come by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. For salvation is free if you're willing to accept it by repenting of your sins. My friends, you need Christ tonight. You need him tonight because the world is on its last leg. Things are going to get worse between now and this year, next year. 2022 is going to be devastating. People are going to start feeling more about the return of Jesus Christ as we go into 2022. I feel it now. I feel it now. That's why I'm preaching it. Three times a week, Wednesdays, Sundays, and Saturday evening with Brother Tim. That's why I'm preaching the yearning and burning in my heart that you need Christ tonight, wherever you are. Things are not going to get better. It's going to get worse. It's going to get to a point where food is going to be short. Water is going to be short. It's going to get so bad, money is going to lose its value. Prices of food is going up. Everything's going up in the stores. Families are being dissipated. Families are being destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Youths are going mad. The government is conniving, doing a conspiracy to control the world through the Luciferians and demons and devils. And guess what? It's progressing more and more. The Antichrist is alive today, my friends. I know he's alive. I've seen him. I did research on top of research on top of research. Where this man is coming from through the word of God in the book of Daniel. Daniel sees 10 horns. After he's seen the forming of the European common market, which is known as NATO, 10 horns were formed, and they were formed from 1948-81. The last one was Greece. Greece was the last, which is the 10th horn, spoken by Daniel the prophet. And then Daniel the prophet said, after I see these horns joined together, I saw another little horn come up from amongst these other 10 horns. And these 10 horns are located in Western and part of Eastern Europe. And they already formed. And then they said about 1986, the 11th horn would come in. 1986, the 11th horn would come in. And there was only one nation that came up amongst those other 10 horns, and that was the nation of Spain. Spain, Spain, Spain is a brothers of the Israelites. Spanish people come from Esau and Jacob. Jacob and Esau were brothers, and Esau was reddish, and Jacob was smooth. And Esau, when Esau came out of his mother's womb first, Jacob took a hold of his heel. So Spanish people and Latinos and Israelites are brothers. Brothers, did you hear what I'm saying? Brothers, and it was Esau that persecuted Jacob because Jacob took Esau's birthright and took his blessings through his mother and through his own deceitful way and for Esau to sell his birthright. And when Esau found out, he was going to wipe out his whole family of Jacob's family, which was 70 people. And Esau had 400 men armored with spears and swords just to wipe out Jacob's whole family until the Lord intervened with Jacob. And Jacob wrestled with the Lord all night long, all night long, all night long, all night long, until the Lord, the angel of the Lord said, which was the Lord himself, told Jacob to let me go. Let me go. It's getting dawn. It's getting daylight. And Jacob said, I will not let you go. I will not let you go. I will not let you go until you bless me. And the Lord hit him on the hollow of the thigh and gave him a limp. And when Esau saw Jacob, the Lord changed both of their hearts, and they wept, and they kissed each other and was reconciled to each other. And from Esau came the Spanish people, and from the Israelites came from Jacob. And Jacob and Esau was being a confrontation even until today. The Spanish people are persecuting the Jews pathetically in 1492. They told all the Jews to get out of Spain. If you don't get out, we're going to kill you. They put them in iron maidens. They drowned them. They did all kind of horrific things to the Jewish people until today. That same hatred that Esau had reigns in the Spanish people. And at the end time, it will be a similitude and an illustration of the Antichrist persecuting the Jewish people, which will be consistent of all the nations of the world. Did you hear what I said? All the nations of the world will try to eliminate the Jewish people. And you say, Brother Bazard, where do you get all that scripture? I get it from the Word of God. And I'm going to go to Zechariah. I'm going to Zechariah. To the 12th verse. Listen to what it says. The 14th verse of Zechariah says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. The Lord says, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the house of rifle, and the women ravished. Half of this city shall go into forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And the fourth verse said, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of Olives shall cleave into the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west, and there shall be a great earthquake, and there shall be a very great valley, a half of the mountain shall remove towards the north and the other half to the south. This is the return of Christ back to the earth when he fights for Jerusalem. And the nations of the world will meet him. This is a similitude of the battle of Armageddon, because the Armageddon is the battle where all nations will meet the Lord God Almighty in the valley of Megiddo, and he will utterly destroy the nation's army that they bring forth. This is found in the 14th chapter of Zechariah. That's the book. That's what the Word of God says. That's what's going to happen to the Jewish people. God is going to deliver them from this persecution that they have suffered ever since Egypt. And Israel will become the head of all nations. It will be the final return of Jesus Christ will set his foot on the top of the Mount of Olives. in Jerusalem, the same mountain that he made in the 24th chapter or the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew's and book of Mark, of the discourse of the time of the end. And now we at the close of the church of the living God and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When the church comes back from heaven, there won't be one denomination name. Ain't nobody going to be riding white horse and say, hey, where you from? I'm from Baptist. Where you from? I'm Presbyterian. Where you from? Ain't going to be none of that. No, that is done. That is done like a biscuit in a oven. Ain't going to be no division. Ain't going to be no denomination. Ain't going to be no here, me, you, or anybody else. It's going to be all the body of Christ in one. And the Bible calls them, in the book of Revelation, it says the saints of God, the saints of God. And you can't be a saint until you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you have never been born again, you can never be a saint. A saint don't mean that you got angels flying around. Saint don't mean that you don't sin. Saint don't mean that you can't make mistakes. A saint is a person that has been washed in the sanctified blood of Jesus Christ, makes you a saint. If you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. And when he saved you, he saves you now, not tomorrow, now. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Because there is no guarantee that you'll wake up in the morning. And if you die tonight, if you die tonight and find yourself in hell, you'll know why you're there. Why did I go to hell? I'll tell you why. You went to hell because your sins were not washed in the blood of the Lamb. Your sins were not removed from your spirit, from your soul, because you refused Christ into your life. You put it off, and you waited too late. You cannot get out of hell. You can't pay your way out. You can't talk your way out. You can't smooth your way out. You'll be there forever and ever and ever and ever, ever beyond ever. For one reason, I'll say it again. I'm going to emphasize on this. You rejected the only cleansing flow, the blood of good Christ, to separate your soul from sin, death, hell, and the grave. And so now and forever, you got to pay for your sins. Who going to hell? I ain't doing no name calling. I ain't calling no names out. Who I even think going to hell, because I really don't want to think about who's going to hell. I don't want nobody to go to hell. But your name ain't going to keep you out of hell if you only accept Jesus Christ. For as you come to him and be willing enough to turn from your unbelief, you don't believe that Jesus Christ died, you need to believe that he died and rose again, and asked him to come into your life by repenting of your sins and have a broken, contrite spirit, that you have sinned against a holy God, and God's attributes cannot be changed. He cannot become unholy like you, so you can go and meet him He is immutable. He does not change. You've got to change. And through faith in Jesus Christ and his shed blood, you can be changed and become a saint of God and have the same love that Christ has in your heart for your brother. Make no difference who you are, what you are, where you're coming from. Jesus Christ can save your soul. We'll never get back to church like it used to be. There won't be no more big church service. There'll be revivals, but it won't be like it used to be. Because by that time, you think the church is coming back, the church itself, the glorified church, will be raptured out of here, and the Antichrist will arrive. When he arrives, he will say that he is what? God. He will say that he is Jesus. And he will be handsome, tall, smart, debonair, and it will be the only specimen that Satan has left to damn people's soul by claiming that he is Jesus Christ. He will do a miracle that God will permit him to do. He will do a fake, low-down, dirty, crooked resurrection, diabolical deed. The devil himself, the great red dragon, the old serpent, the devil, will make sure in the middle of the tribulation period, the UFOs and the wicked spirits will actually come to this earth. They will invade the four corners of this earth. And they will take control of the media, the religious system, the political system, and they will rule the last 3.5 years of ruling and deceiving people by the mark of the beast. And people will accept it because they believe that this corona is so bad that they're willing enough to sell their soul to get a piece of bread. Because during the mark of the beast, the Antichrist will become the beast, and the dragon will be his father, and they will rule the political world, the financial world, the religious world, the economical world, and they will set up an order and set up a system that says, in order for you to be able to buy and sell, don't that sound familiar? You must receive a mark, don't you? Ain't that familiar? If you don't receive the mark, you will be beheaded. You will go to be a marshal. That's what America's getting ready to come to, because the Eastern, Western Europe Antichrist will institute America, and America will become under the influence of the Antichrist and become a member of the one world government, and America will become a slaughterhouse. The church buildings that are empty now will be used as executing centers. They got graveyards. They got plastic coffins. They got 800 FEMA camps. They got the government working for the government, and the government will rule the world through the building and the instruction of the Antichrist. But he will have power to do what? Miracles, make fire come out of heaven, make predictions, and guess what? The world will believe it. Revelation 13 says, the whole world wondered after the beast. And all the world wondered after the beast. Majority of the world will be deceived. They will be fooled by the devil himself of his mystical ways that he has. And all the UFOs and all these flying objects and all this CERN and all the demons that's going to be set loose on this earth in the last part of the tribulation will be on those hell on earth. Mama will be betrayed and daddy. Daddy will betray your son. Sons against daughter. Daughter-in-law against son-in-law. It will be a division in the family like never before. And those that receive that mark, those that see that computer chip, come on. Don't want to believe it, but it's coming. Those that will not receive that will be beheaded and going on to glory. Those that receive it, once you receive that into your bloodstream, your soul is damned forever. You cannot repent after you see the mark and the beast of the last part of the tribulation period. Your soul will burn in hell because you rejected by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to pay for your own sins. And the world is rejoicing and partying and drinking and sex orgies and homosexuals and adulterers and fornicators and whoremongers and liars and backbiters and whoa, wickedness. They will be damned because they believe that this false Messiah is Jesus Christ, and it will be the raw devil. And it won't be no Halloween. It won't be nothing funny about it. Because once you receive that mark, you cannot renege once you receive it. Once you receive the coronavirus, whatever that thing, the damage it's going to do to your body, you can't reject it. You have to admit, I made a big mistake. It's a sad story, but it's true. Majority of the world will be lost and die and go to hell. And Satan lost. You lost. You lost because you thought you were smart and ignoring. Ignoring. Just walk all over. Just told you, Jesus, I don't need no cross. I don't need that blood. I don't need that. And now you got to pay for your own sins. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why don't you come to Christ? Come on in. Only thing you got to do is I confess with my mouth. Hold your hands up. And say, I confess with my mouth. I believe with my heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead on his own power. I will receive him into my life. I repent of my sins. I am sorry, Lord. I'm broken up. I hurt inside because I've sinned against you and you love me so much. And I thank you, Lord, for dying for me. And I appreciate that. I appreciate your salvation more than anything in the whole round of earth. Let Jesus come in. And by faith, you can be saved. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. This is Elder G. Bazaar. Come to you from Warren, Ohio. Love you all out there. Keep praying for me that I continue on telling you about this glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, he's coming back again to get a church with us.